What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the 13th episode of the Nerdy-ish Podcast. My name is Mike, and I'm joined again by the lovely and talented
Elroy.
What's going on?
You know what it is, man. Kind of upset still from yesterday.
Work-related issues.
Damn it.
Yeah. First and foremost, happy anniversary to the PS1.
Yes, 20 years.
I'm fucking old.
Damn it.
Word up. That came out in 95. Shit. Ugh, I was 13 when that system came out. I remember when the PS1 came out, I was still like on a Nintendo, Sega shit. Yeah. I didn't trust the PlayStation, so I remember my friend from church, he had the PlayStation. He's like, bro, you gotta get this. I got Tekken. I got this. I'm like, fuck that shit. I got my Sega Saturn.
Exactly. I was the same way. I'm like, PlayStation. I thought it was PlayStation.
Yeah, man. I had Saturn at that time. So like, and it started to piss me off because PlayStation started getting a lot of games that the Saturn wasn't getting. And then when the Saturn did get it, it was like later. So like the original Tomb Raider, I played on Saturn. And that was like the inferior port. PlayStation had the better port. And it was just like, I ended up getting Resident Evil for the Saturn. Stuff like that. It was just kind of like, all right, it's time to jump ship. So when, I think RE2 came out and when Final Fantasy 7 came out, me and my older brother, I think we sold most of our like Super Nintendo and Genesis and all the games plus the systems to like afford the system. And that's how we ended up getting it. We got it at Funko Land. And I think my first game was Resident Evil 2. And I was trying to tell my brother, like, yo, get Final Fantasy. He's like, nah, I'm good. He ended up getting like MLB Triple Play or some shit.
Idiot.
Baseball. I'm like, I mean, it was a cool game, but I'm like, that's not a game you want as your first game for your system.
Yeah.
So I ended up getting Final Fantasy 7 a little later, and the rest is history. Great system.
I remember getting Final Fantasy 7. Actually, our cousins, Albert and Andrew, their father had bought it. I think their father had bought it, but
before
he never
your
played
father,
it.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how I found out about it, and I told my pops, and I was like, oh, Final Fantasy 7, this is pretty cool, and Albert would, I guess, play it more. I don't know who bought it. I don't know if it was him or his pops, because his pops really didn't play like that.
Albert was probably too young for that, right?
No, he was playing it. I mean, he was young.
He was five.
Yeah, but he was playing A Link to the Past then.
No, I'm saying, but I don't think, you really think at 5 years old, he was like, Daddy, I want Final Fantasy 7? I don't know.
He probably just, when he got the PlayStation, he probably just chose it, but didn't know what it was about,
Yeah, that game also had like a heavy marketing push, so maybe his father saw it on the TV. It was like, oh, it looks cool. I'm gonna get it. Blah, blah, blah.
That's how I found out about it, and eventually we got it, and history.
I ended up playing a lot of it at my friend's house. This guy from church, he used to get like all the games. So like he had Final Fantasy 7. He had like the baseball game, which is cool. He had a whole bunch of games. So we would all go over there and just play. And I'm like, all right, this is pretty decent. I like this. And then I ended up getting it later. I don't remember what year we got it. Do you remember what year Resident Evil 2 came out?
No. Well, F97 was Final Fantasy 7, I believe.
I got Final Fantasy 7 a little later than when it came out. Because I remember going to his house playing it. And I ended up getting it later on. But I...
95 or 96?
I definitely got it before 98. Because 98 was Metal Gear Solid. I got that. So it was definitely before 98. I want to say I got it like 96, 97. To be on the safe side. It might have been 97. Yeah. But whatever. So happy anniversary to the PlayStation 1. So today's not going to be a traditional podcast. We're going to make this our New York Comic Con 2015 special. But before we get into Comic-Con, Elroy, he forgot to mention last week that he saw Black Mass.
Yes.
Right? So I saw that this weekend as well, and I also saw The Martian. So we're just going to give quick rundowns of the movie and what we thought about it, then we'll just jump into Comic-Con and finish off the episode. So no random topics today, no movie news, no game news, no nerdy shit, no indie talk, right?
Yeah, but I do have movie news for next time, so...
Yeah, we'll have a lot of shit ready to go next time, but we just wanted to focus on Comic-Con this week. So you want to jump in Black Mass first?
Yes, Black Mass.
Okay, so you liked it.
I enjoyed it, I liked it, but it wasn't anything, like, new. It wasn't... I feel like I've seen that type of movie before.
Yeah, and then you told me this last week, so I saw it Friday night, I believe. Yeah, Friday night, and I agree with that. And I remember seeing the trailer, and I'm like, oh, man, Cumberbatch, Depp, all these great actors in this movie. It's going to be epic. Mafia movie. And it just wasn't, it was very formulaic. It was very by the numbers.
And that's, the typical for me. And that's why I really never liked mafia movies, because it was pretty much always the same.
Yeah. And this didn't do anything special. It didn't add anything to the genre. I don't think it had really like any defining moments where, or quotables for that matter. Like, I can't picture myself like 10 years from now, like, yo, remember that scene in Black Mask? I don't think it did anything special.
No, I mean, the performances were awesome.
Yeah.
That was it. I mean, I love Johnny Depp when he's not an out of this world character. I think he did a great job. You know, and every other character, I forgot the other guy's name, that he was the cop that was helping Johnny Depp's character. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a good actor. I mean, it was good. It was a good movie, but it wasn't anything, like you said, memorable.
Memorable?
So, is that a word? It has to be a word.
Memorable.
Excuse me. Memorable.
Yeah, it was just, I, you know what? I think one of the strong points of the movie was his actual brutality. Like, the scenes where you actually see somebody getting hit with something, it looked realistic. Like, there's a scene where they're beating the shit out of somebody in the car, and his face keeps getting pressed against the glass. That looked realistic. There was a scene where Johnny Depp hit somebody over the head with, I forgot what weapon it was, and it looked like he really hit him in the head. Like, you know, usually they cut away from it.
Yeah.
So it looked very brutal. But, I don't know. Me and Elroy were talking about this off camera yesterday, I believe, or the day before. And I think my issues with the movie, and he didn't agree with me on this, is that I don't think the movie gives you a good sense of time. And what I mean by that is, when you watch a movie based on somebody's life, it happens with biopics, it happens with just in general. I think the movies never give you a good sense of timing, like how many years have passed. It doesn't really say much. Like, for example, like Forrest Gump, that movie's about a guy's life, pretty much. And you can tell years pass, right? Black Mass, it was just so like, I can't really explain it. It was just so like, it just kept going, and you never really saw what happened. Like, there was any, you never seen any growth between the character. Like, it, apparently it took place over years. Johnny Depp always looked the same. You saw his son once, so you never got a sense of his son growing, or, you know what I'm saying? And then, like, you want to spoil it a little bit, or?
Yeah, because we're talking about it. I mean, his son dies. But like,
it's like a quick mention. Like, his mom dies, his son dies, right? So his son is sick. You see his reaction. You see his baby mama, which you never see again after that scene. And it's just kind of like, yeah, his son is sick. Well, let's pull the plug on him. And he has this crazy reaction. He's like, no, what? Don't ever fucking say something like that to me again. Like, he flips out. And then you never see the son or anything about his sickness. And then later when his mom dies, and then somebody mentions, well, his mom died and his son died, so he took it really hard. And then, like, you never see anything, no fallout from it, no funeral, no nothing. So it was just kind of like, all right, so, like, why even mention it if you're not going to even go into it? Like, I don't know. It was just, I felt like it was a little jumbled. It was a little incohesive. And I think if I had to rate it out of a 10, I'd probably give it, like, a 6.
Yeah, I'd give it a 6. Special.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I kind of, I don't know, for me, I maybe you missed something, or I kind of picked up a sense of time. But I mean, I understand what you're saying, like, you, because it really didn't throw it in your face. It was something that you just had, I just realized, and I was like, okay, this would happen. And I guess that didn't really bother me in that aspect, because I knew what was going on.
It's definitely a nitpick. I would say that. It's nothing like,
I would have to see it again to really, like, see what you're talking about.
But you know how, like, sometimes when movies take place over some, like, the course of years, you'll see one day, like, they're doing, let's say if they're doing business in the street, or he's talking to somebody, one day he's wearing like a spring jacket, or it's summertime, he doesn't have a jacket on. The next time you see him, as time passes, he'll be like in a coat and it's snowing outside, like something, like, it doesn't give me any type of sense of that, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's, like I said, it's a small nitpick, but it was something that, like, when his son died, I was just kind of like, wait a minute, like, they never even mentioned it, like, how much time passed? And then, like, towards the end of the movie, when they break down exactly what happened, you know, this year he went to prison for this amount of time, or he got caught at this amount of time, I was like, wait a minute. Like, you know, actually, the newspaper clipping.
Yeah.
When they were like, he's been an FBI informant since 1975. And I'm like, what year was this? Like, what year is this that he's reading it now? Like, they don't say.
Actually,
you know,
now that you mentioned the years, they did show different years.
Did they?
Yeah, did you go to the bathroom at one point?
No, but I kept getting phone calls throughout the damn movie.
There was times where they showed years, like, it was 19 whatever, and then, like,
so what year did he read that newspaper? Like, what year was this? Was this supposed to be in the 80s? Was it 1978?
I know, I can't, like, remember. Like I said, that movie was not more memorable.
Memorable. That's gonna be the
potato potato.
That's gonna be the name of this podcast.
Potato potato. But they did show years. They did give you a sense of time, because I do remember them being years.
Yeah, so I definitely gotta watch it again later, not right now.
That's why I was like, I don't understand what you're talking about when you're saying you didn't get a sense of
time. So like on the screen, it said like 1970.
Yeah, I remember it showing the deers.
Don't fucking lie to me.
I'm not. Now that you bring it up, I do remember that. That's why I was like, but I didn't get that sense of no time. I did get a sense of time. So.
Okay, so what would you rate it out of a 10?
I still rate it a 6.
Okay, so we agree on that at least.
Yeah.
Whatever. I also saw The Martian this weekend. Now, that was a really good movie.
Yeah, I want to see it. I might see it later today. I'm not sure. I might pick up a shift at work, but we'll get into that later.
It was a really good movie. Matt Damon, I think he knocked it out of the park with his performance. You know, a lot of his acting just comes talking to like a voice log. You know, usually in those sci-fi movies, they leave like a recording or a voice log, you know, just in case if somebody finds them to give some type of record or whatever. So he's doing that a lot to the camera, like explaining what he's doing. So it's funny. It has like a good sense of humor. For those of you guys who don't know what the movie's about, it's about this guy who's on a space mission, I guess, with his team, with a bunch of astronauts on Mars, and he gets hit by debris, and this big storm hits Mars, and he flies off, and they think he's dead, and they have to leave before they all die. So they think he's dead because he's not responding, and they leave, and then come to find out that he actually survives. He has a certain amount of rations that could last him for a certain amount of time. Like, he calculates it. I don't remember exactly the amount of time. But he notices that he wouldn't be able to survive fully because he doesn't know when he's going to get off the planet. And he does know that there's supposed to be another expedition to Mars. So he knows he has some type of window to survive, and it wasn't enough. So he has to create his own crops. He starts growing potatoes, and it's a real interesting movie. Like, it's very scientific. It gets into a lot of science. He has to figure out a lot of shit within the science himself. There's like one scene in the movie where he goes, I'm gonna have to science the shit out of this. So he knows, like, you know, he's a botanist, so it helped them grow crops or whatever. Really, really cool movie, man. Really cool movie. You said so you might see it today?
Yes, I might see it today.
Yeah, even though you asked me to spoil it for you yesterday, I won't spoil the ending in the podcast or whatever, because you definitely didn't see it yet, so I don't want to, you know, whatever. Yeah, I think it was very cool. Probably not the best movie I've seen all year, but a strong movie. If you're into science fiction, it looks really cool. Visually, it looks great. A lot of great performances. Jessica Chastain. Who else is in the movie?
Kate Mara.
Kate Mara's in it.
And if you don't know who Kate Mara is, she's the new Invisible Woman.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Blah. Yeah, so it was very interesting. I'm hearing that it's pretty faithful to the book. I heard the
now,
book.
Now, speaking of book, mm-hmm. I don't want to cut you off, but I heard there was some little controversy about two characters who were supposed to be Asian, and they changed them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know, into like a Caucasian male and one female, and the Asian community, especially like, you know, for the actors, they kind of had a beef with that. Yeah. And that's just another issue of, it's just another racial issue, and you know how it is with movies. How, like, Aloha cast Caucasians instead of Hawaiians, and it's like, oh, but what about, you know, Caucasian, you know, those actors who aren't Caucasian, like, why aren't we giving them their opportunity? And so I know that was one of the issues for The Martian, and then there was another issue about plagiarism or some stuff like that. That kind of has some issues going on with itself.
Well, I spoke to two coworkers that read the book, and they thought that it was, they didn't mention anything about race. I guess it's something that they wasn't really too important to them.
Yeah.
I don't know. They just didn't bring that up. They were just like, the book is good. The movie is good. Obviously, they said the book is better. Most of the time, it is better. But yeah, they said the book is, I mean, if you're not going to read the book, then it's fine just to watch the movie. Like something like Jurassic Park, which is completely different from the book. They said it's pretty faithful. I believe it ends the same way. I think that just goes into more detail, pretty much, just like what most books do. But I want to give a special shout out in the movie to this actor named Donald Glover. He played a scientist that was working for NASA, and he helps them figure out a whole bunch of shit. And I thought his performance was real solid. I'm not too familiar with the guy. It says that he's in Magic Mike, the second one. He does some voice acting for Ultimate Spider-Man. He was in The Lazarus Effect. He did some Robot Chicken, some Sesame Street. He was in Girls on HBO. So I guess he's like an up and coming actor, and I think his performance was cool. He wasn't in it the whole movie. He comes like into the movie like later on, but I thought his performance was pretty solid. This is actor, and I'm gonna butcher his name. Let me see if I can bring it up real quick. He plays, well, Jeff Daniels is in the movie. He's like the head of NASA. He's like the director of NASA. he did a pretty good job. You said Kristen Wiig's in it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. This guy, Chiwetel Ejiofor, he was in 12 Years a Slave.
Yes, and Firefly, well, Serenity.
Yeah, I honestly don't know how to pronounce his name. He was also an American Gangster, but he was pretty damn good in this movie, too.
He's a great actor, and he's going to be in the new... I think he's Baron Mordo in Doctor Strange.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And your boy Sean Bean is in it. Michael Peña's in it. You said Kate Mara. It was strong movie, solid performances all around. Definitely check it out, I would say. If you're not... Like, if you have nothing to watch this weekend or next weekend, and give it a shot for sure. I would give it... honestly, I think I would give it like an 8.5 out of 10. Pretty good movie.
Yeah, I think his name is pronounced Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Okay, I know he listens to the podcast, so I'm sorry for butchering your name.
Yeah.
And I know one of my coworkers right away after we saw the movie, he was like, what he say? He said it wasn't better than Interstellar, though. And I'm like, I know they're both sci-fi movies and they both deal with space, but they're totally different.
Yeah.
Totally different. Like, I enjoyed Interstellar a lot. I'm not going to sit here and compare the movies, but I think it's really good on its own merit. Don't try to go in there comparing it to Interstellar or Gravity, although it has moments from like Gravity-ish. I think it was cool. I like Gravity also. I thought that was a solid movie too, but this is pretty cool. So
we'll see. I think I'll check it out.
Yeah, I think you should check it out today for sure.
If not, there's a couple of movies that are out that I want to check. I want to check out Pan, and I'm not big into it. For some reason, I just like adventure, and it just seems very like visually entertaining and adventurous. But I know that's disappointing in the box office right now, yeah. And it's not doing very good, so I don't know.
Wasn't that movie supposed to come out like months ago and then they pushed it back? I remember seeing a trailer like last year sometime and it just never came out and I totally forgot about it. And then I guess they started marketing it again. And
yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'll see. And then I think that new Keanu Reeves movie came out, Knock Knock.
I heard that sucked.
It doesn't look anything great, but just to see because of what it's about, I might want to check that out. I don't know. We'll see.
All right. So you want to jump into Comic-Con?
Yep.
So, before we jump directly into Comic-Con, me and Elroy, don't be jealous when we tell you this, me and Elroy have our own Yu-Gi-Oh card.
Yes, that's probably the highlight of my Comic-Con experience.
That was fucking great. We passed by the Konami booth, and we see this line, and we're like, what is this for? And I asked this guy, he's like, you could get on a Yu-Gi-Oh card. And I'm like, all right, it's cool, depending on how much it costs, and it ended up being free.
Yes.
So we're on our own Yu-Gi-Oh card, and apparently you can use this card in game.
Hell yeah, it's a token card, so you can use it as any token print.
So token, you just put a token down, and it pretty much just blocks your life points, right?
I don't even know what the hell the token. I haven't played Yu-Gi-Oh in so long.
Remember that was a card that had like a sheep that you put like sheep tokens on.
Yeah,
they don't have any. I don't think they. I think if you hit them, they don't count towards your life points. You just destroy them, and they just block your life points.
Oh, I see. Cool.
Because you know, in Yu-Gi-Oh, to destroy somebody's life points, you have to have no monsters on the field. Remember?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think you just put that out, so you can actually put it out. So technically, we're weak ass cards, but we defend life points.
I'm with it.
Yeah. So Yu-Gi-Oh is a cool game. So it was cool to. We played that years ago, man. How old were you when you played that? I was much older.
I was in junior high school.
Yeah, because
early high school, perhaps.
I got into it because I think you and my brother were playing it, and I was like, "Yeah, I'll get into it, whatever, just to play, whatever." And I thought it was really cool.
It's a solid card game. I love Yu-Gi-Oh.
I haven't played it in a long time, though. I still know all the rules and everything, but I'm not familiar with any of the new cards, packs, none of that. Like, I feel like a noob all over again. But
yeah.
So we have our own damn card. Hate on it.
I love it. I mean, I think I look really good.
Yeah, I think the cards look really cool. We tweeted it out, so if you follow us on Twitter, you should be able to check that out. So Comic-Con overall, man, how was the experience? We only did one day this year.
Yes, we did one day this year. Actually, that's 2 years in a row of doing one day, which sucks, because we used to go 3 days in a row.
Well, the first year I went 3 days, but yeah. I've never done the 3 day after that.
Yeah, I've done it 2 more times after that.
I feel like once I see everything, like, for example, let's say we were going today, it's just kind of like, we saw pretty much everything.
You know what it was for me, though? It was just, if I wasn't doing anything, I can just go to Comic-Con.
And you could street pass again.
You know, street pass, which I collected like 5 more people on my way home.
I left my damn DS home. What an idiot. Yes.
I was playing some of the games from street pass, the puzzles and the some like savior character from the cage. He got captured.
They have the RPG, right?
Something like that. Yeah, it really didn't do much as far as leveling.
Yeah, but they have like games you could buy. Like there's one called MeForce. It's like a Gradius type, like R type game.
Yeah,
which is pretty cool. So like, let's say if like I have your me and my gate, I could use you as a pilot.
Nice.
So it's cool. Then you do different missions. That was like $2. I bought that. That was cool.
Okay.
Yeah. So overall, Comic Con for that one day. Go ahead, man. Take it away. What do you think?
So Comic Con for one day. I mean, it was great. I liked seeing all these costumes, which we pretty much got a lot of Deadpool, and you know the typical.
It was a little too much Deadpool.
I was surprised to see Aaron Black, one of the new Mortal Kombat characters. There was like two people dressed as him.
Yeah,
and those costumes was pretty cool. I mean, I like Aaron Black. You know, just there was a lot of costumes that I didn't know what the hell that
a lot was of anime, from. A lot of blue girls. Yeah,
I think there was a lot of anime this year than any other year. Mm-hmm. You know, your typical Wolverines and Spider-Mans.
We saw a dope Snake Eyes though.
Yes, we did see a dope Snake Eyes
and White Ranger. Cool.
And that was a tall ass White Ranger.
He looked cool though.
Yeah, I mean, I like going to Comic Con. I didn't really get to buy anything like I wanted to. And as I wanted to, I was supposed to go back after the little issue at work. Apparently, it closed at 7, and I was really upset. But yeah, we got to play this new Ghostbusters game that's coming out November. It was actually backed by a Kickstarter campaign, and we got to meet the creator, and he actually played a demo with us, and that was the second highlight of the day for Comic-Con, which I really enjoyed. And I'm definitely going to pick up that game. It's going to be $85 come November.
Oh, man. So it was really cool because we got a chance to meet the developer of the game, Cryptozoic Games. They yes. created the Walking Dead board game. They created Portal. They created, what was the other one there? There was another one there.
I only remember Portal being there and Ghostbusters.
Well, and then they had Ghostbusters. So Ghostbusters is not out yet. It was a successful Kickstarter that came out a few months ago, and it hit its goal. I think it made more money than it was supposed to. And they were going to demo it there. So, it's funny because it was weird going to Comic-Con with Elroy this year because he didn't seem too excited this year. He was just kind of like shrugging his shoulders at everything. I'm like, bro, look at Ghostbusters. He's like,
You know what?
I can show some enthusiasm.
The thing is, I've seen it all already for years. Like, it's nothing new. But, I mean, it's still a great experience to go to. But, at this point, I'm just like, okay. Oh, cool. Like, I mean, when I remember first going, remember we got to play Red Faction Guerrilla. Yo, what the hell is this game? You know, it was a different experience. So, like, having gone there for a while is like, okay, cool.
Yeah. I'm going to give a quick rundown of the game if you don't mind or you want to talk about it.
Yeah, you can start. Even, I was talking about it, but go ahead.
All right, so really quick, the guy was giving a demo at 2:00, right? So I don't remember what time we saw the booth originally.
And it was around like 12.
And then we came back, and then we they were like, "Oh, remember the thing is at 2:00." So it was at 1:00 at this point. And we were like, "Yeah, so we're gonna come back at 2:00." So we come back around 1:50. The guy's not back from lunch yet, and they were like, "Oh, no, he might be back 2 to 2:30." The motherfucker didn't show up to 2:45. But I love you. We made a great game. So we waited patiently, and it ended up paying off because the game is great. So they have different scenarios, different campaigns. You could do one-off missions. So pretty much it comes with, I think, 10 pieces, right? Like map pieces?
Yeah, like 10 map pieces.
So the map ranges from one side has like a forest on it. The other side has like a street on it, right?
Yeah.
And then you could position your characters wherever you want. And, he made, like, a scenario for the demo, right? So, like, the Ecto-1 was positioned, like, in the middle. He had Slimer there. He had some ghosts. And then there's, like, these dimensions that open up. And you have to close the dimensions because they bring out different ghosts. And the more ghosts you get, the worse it is for you, whatever.
Yeah, and only one dimension for that particular demo was open.
Yeah, so what was cool about it is when you get out of the Ecto-1, you can get out of any side of the car in front of a door.
Any four sides, yes.
Yeah, and then it's pretty much an RPG. So, like, I was Winston. He's, like, the support character, right?
Yeah.
They said Egon is the DPS character, which is damage per second for you guys that don't know that. He deals out more damage. Ray was the tank?
No, that was Peter.
Peter's the tank, and Ray was the
I couldn't healer. Remember. Yeah, healer. The healer. Yeah, that's what it was.
So,
yeah.
in Ghostbusters, there's no HP, so there's nothing to heal. But if a ghost hits you, you get slimed. And every time you get slimed, you lose an action. So for each turn, you get 3 actions. So let's say if you're slimed twice, then you can only move once because you have two slimes on you.
Unless so, you're Ray, you can take out a slime for free.
Yeah, so Ray's special ability is he can wipe off slime for free. You can also walk up to somebody and take... You can use an action and take the slime off the person. And Ray, if he takes slime off people, he gets an experience point. So what's cool about it, it comes with this little card that has levels on it. And there's like this little plastic cursor on it. You put the plastic cursor on it and you slide every time you level up or whatever. So it's pretty cool. So you can level up. It was weird because there's a certain... There's levels within levels, right? So yeah. We started off level 2. I think we started off level 2, but we were sub-level like 11 or some shit. I don't remember. And then we were pretty much one level away from level 3. So whenever you level up, you get different abilities. So like, I think your level 2 ability was you get to... Or was that like your level 3? You get to reroll?
Yeah, my level 3, I get to reroll.
Yeah.
So if I... Let's say if I had to... In order to stream a ghost, I needed 4 or higher. If I had a 3... I had a free roll and I could try to get that 4 or higher to stream a ghost. And in order to get a ghost trap, you had to stream them a certain amount of times depending, you know, what their card says. So if you needed to stream a level 1 ghost, I forget his name, twice, you had to make sure you hit a 4 or higher twice, any one of the Ghostbusters who hits them, and then you trap them right after that. Is that a move? It was a trap?
What, the ghost? Like, no, when you caught them, you officially trapped them. If you were the last person on it, you trap them automatically. So when you use your move to attack them, he pretty much, let's say if, like, Slimer needed 4, right? 4 streams on him?
Yeah.
If you get the 4th stream on him and you get him, you pretty much trap him. That doesn't count for a move. Your stream did, though.
Yeah.
So what's cool about it is there's certain class ghosts, right? So class 1 ghost took 2 streams to bring down, right? So, like, a class 2 ghost took, like, 3 streams to bring down. And the stream in the game looks like a little ring. It looks like a little donut. And let's say if you hit Slimer with 1 stream and you're successful. So let's say if you need to roll a 4 or higher to hit Slimer pretty much, right? So when you roll a 4, when you hit him, you put a stream over him. So it's like a little hoop, like a little donut. You put it over his head. So that's how you know you have 1 stream on Slimer. And the objective of the demo was to bring Slimer down pretty much.
So and close the gate.
And close the gate, yeah. So we did that. It was pretty cool. And it comes a little figurine. So Slimer has his own figurine. Each Ghostbuster has their own little figurine. The Ecto-1, and there's a whole bunch of ghosts. Also, there's like a spirit world. That's what he called it. Like a dimension, a spirit dimension or something. And certain aspects of the game would cause more ghosts to come out. So you have to make sure you close the gates out. And if you don't close the gates, more ghosts could keep coming and it makes the game go longer.
Yeah, because there's also like three different, there's your dice, there's the dice for the ghost for when you roll it.
Yeah, because the ghosts move, what was it? What was the term he used? You pretty much, you didn't know where they're going to move. It was just kind of like...
Yeah, you pretty much, you get like a little board, like a little piece where when you roll it, depending on how they're angled, then whatever number it landed on, whatever that board has that number is where you have to move the ghost piece. So let's say if you're on 2 where he's landed on, where the dice landed on 2, and that's the same position your character's on, he'd have to move there, but you'd get a slime on you because you get touched. And like for Slimer, which I wanted to mention, was that when you stream him, he actually moves 2 spaces close to you. So, you know, you don't want to get slimed. So let's say you got to wait to go, and if he just hasn't already slimed you from someone else, depending on his random move, the ghost, you can move away like 2 spaces.
Yeah, and he like also had like an area effect. He had an AoE that if he misses, he slimes anything that's adjacent to him in 1 square.
Right? Yeah, and there's other characters that they blow up. They like within 4 squares or something.
Yeah, which was cool because if you miss them, they have like this effect that if you do miss, they'll slime whatever's next to them, pretty much in any square. So up, down, left, right, diagonal, side, whatever.
It tells you on the on the ghost character card, like, what
so ghosts were. Yeah, bring strategy into the game, because let's say if you're next to Slimer, and he has 2 streams left to kill, you might want to use an action to move away from him, because if you shoot him, and then depending on everybody else's position, if he ends up sliming all the Ghostbusters, that's bad news for you. So, it was cool, because, like, you know, there was one point where Elroy wanted to slime to hit Slimer, and he was like, you should probably move because he's going to slime everybody. And it just adds depth to the game, you know? And, like, I had a few bad rolls as soon as the game started. So I got slimed right away. A ghost ended up landing on top of me. So I think I started off the game with 2 slimes on me. And right away, everybody was like, all right, let's get the slime off of him. So you pretty much go up to the character, say I'm gonna use an action, take a slime off, and then that's pretty much it. So it adds strategy to the game. As you level up, you get more actions, you get more abilities. Like, I think the level 5 ability for Elroy was everybody gets to re-roll if they don't like their roll.
Yeah.
So, for example, like, Elroy finished the game off by trapping Slimer, right? In fashion of a Ghostbusters fan.
Yeah.
Which was cool. So, he ended up doing that, and he rolled, and he missed, right? So, I think he needed a 4, and he hit, like, a 3. So, because of his ability, he can re-roll, and he re-rolled, and he hit, like, a 5, and he ended up trapping Slimer. So, that was pretty cool. Like, for me, when I misrolled, I think twice on one of the ghosts, I ended up getting slimed or whatever it was. And I couldn't reroll because that's not my character's ability. So, it's like an RPG strategy just mixed with a board game. Shit is fucking dope, man.
And what's cool, another dice I forgot to mention, which I wanted to mention, I mentioned it, but I didn't get into it. It had the, you know, the cards in the beginning of the movie where Peter Venkman's talking to, like, the two students or test subjects. Mm-hmm. And they show the different cards with the squiggly lines, the square, the star. There's a dice that has that, and that goes to the portals. And depending if the portal is closed or open, it has a different effect. Yeah. And it depends whatever of those symbols you land on. Those portals has the symbols. Like, there's gonna be like the little squares with the Ghostbuster symbol, or the open portal symbol. Mm-hmm. When you turn it around, depending how it's flipped, and the four corners. Each of the the portals has their own symbol from those cards, so like they do different effects or something.
Yeah,
but you get a card that explains everything. So
yeah, the game comes very detailed. It comes with rules. Every ghost that you decide, because you can make your own scenarios too. It comes with scenarios made already. You can create your own. What's cool about it is the game is going to be community driven. So I forgot how frequent he said, but the creator of the game said, I'm gonna get you his name in a second. I took a picture of his business card. He said that whenever you create a campaign or whatever it is, or just a scenario, you can submit it to their forums and he'll pick one randomly. Well, I guess the one that he likes the best, actually, and he'll post it to the community site, and then people will be able to print it and be able to play that scenario, which is pretty damn cool. So it's the game, because it's like all community based, it was kickstarted, you know, so it's cool that he's giving back to the people who actually purchased the game. His name is Mateo Wilson, and he's from Cryptozoic Entertainment. So the game has boss battles as well. It has Slimer. We didn't do Stay Puft. It has Stay Puft as a boss battle.
Yeah.
And the game just looks cool, man. We posted pictures on the Twitter. I think you did, right?
Yeah.
So if it seems interesting to anybody, it's Cryptozoic Entertainment, and we have pictures of the actual like characters on the board and what it looks like.
I think I posted it on my Instagram.
So we'll post it on the Twitter because we both have pictures, whatever. So we'll do that today. It's really cool. The game is going to be $85, and I know what you guys like. Who pretty much anybody who's not into board games are going to say that's expensive, but that's pretty much the price for like board games that come with these type of figures. And because this game, he actually worked with Sony directly. Like, he said Sony gave him the rights to go ahead and use Ghost, and it's pretty cool, man. And he is cool enough to say that we mentioned that we have a podcast, that he's willing to give an interview for the podcast. So I think tomorrow I'm going to send him an email and see what he wants to do, and depending on scheduling, me or Elroy might just interview him.
Well, he said sometime in November, correct?
What, for the interview?
Yeah.
Well, I'll find out when I email him. I don't remember him saying that, but if that's true, then it's fine. Because depending on it, it'd be cool if he's actually willing to be on a full episode of the podcast. So let's see if that works out. If not, then we would have to interview him on the side sometime during Skype and then just add it to the podcast.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see what his schedule looks like, because I think he is based out of, let me find out what he's based out of. I want to see if there's a big time difference.
Yeah, and he'll give a better like rundown of the game, because obviously he's the creator. So
he's in Cali, so that's 3-hour difference. So we're podcasting now, it's 8 in the morning, or it's about to be 9. It's fucking, he's probably sleeping in Cali, you know, it's 3-hour difference.
Yeah.
So we'll have to figure out what's the best time for him. Maybe like on a Saturday night if he's not busy, or during the week sometime. We'll figure it out. We'll work out something. So we can't promise we're going to get him on the show, but if it works out scheduling wise, if he has time, then, you know, it'd be cool to have our guest, you know, our first interview. You know, that'd be pretty damn cool.
Yeah. And especially for Ghostbusters.
Yeah, I was about to say that. We talk about Ghostbusters all the damn time because Elroy loves Ghostbusters. And it'd be really cool to have somebody who created a board game from Ghostbusters, you know? It's very exciting. I think Elroy said he's going to purchase it wouldn't make sense for me to purchase it, because we would probably play it together. So
yeah, I'm definitely going to purchase it. I remember running across it. I forgot what website I was on, and I'm like, Ghostbusters board game? But I didn't know it was like backed up from Kickstarter. I thought it was just a game that was created because it was created by, you know, a company that, like, Sony just had the rights, but apparently Kickstarter. So thank you, Kickstarter people.
Yeah. So it's gonna be really interesting, man. The game, again, it's coming out November. He said mid-November. If you kickstarted it, you should be getting it soon. Retail is gonna be in November for $85. And like I said, that price is normal for those type of board games. I bought a board game called Super Dungeon Explorer that comes with these pieces are actually bigger than the Ghostbusters pictures pieces, and you could paint them and all this shit, and that was like $85 too. So I haven't had a chance to play that because it's tough to get everybody in a room together to play a board game. So I gotta set maybe one day we could set up a Ghostbusters game night, play that, and then do Dungeon Explorer also.
Hell yeah,
that'd be pretty cool, man. Because once in a while we have like a game night. I would come over, my brother, a few of us, and we'll just chill, you know.
So that should be fun. Yeah, I'm excited to start playing that again. I really enjoyed it. Like, I wanted to go back to my brother to have him check it out if they were still there to play it.
Yeah.
But, you know, issues at work messed everything up. Like, all right, so this is the rundown. Me and Mike go to Chick-fil-A, which finally, I know he was in heaven.
We finally had Chick-fil-A went twice. There. We had Chick-fil-A for breakfast and lunch.
But to me, Chick-fil-A is not that serious.
Shut up.
But, you know, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go back. He gives me his Comic-Con ticket. I'm going to give it to my brother. I'm like, yo, meet me at 34th Street. I check my Facebook, and because, you know, I have bad service at Javis Center, I see my manager, like, to me and my coworker, hey, guys, it's 441. None of you got back to me. Where are you guys? And I'm like, I shouldn't have to come into work because he's supposed to be, you know, covering for me. Why are you asking me where I am? It's him. You're the one who approved it. And I gave you the thumbs up. That has nothing to do with me, so I don't get it. Like, I was just dumbfounded, like, And I decided to just go to the job because at this point I'm calling and no one's picking up and my phone is dying. I go to the job, she's not there. I'm like, I want to speak to somebody, one of the leaders, and he's like, oh, come meet me at the cash wrap. So I tell him, like, hey, man, I'm supposed to be out right now. My shift is covered. He's like, yeah, your shift is covered. Jordan's covering for you. I'm like, but he's not here, and why is she on my case on Facebook? Like, where am I? Where am I? What, I thought that was established. He's like, well, that's not your problem. Don't worry about it. It's his fault. But I'm like, this is the third time this guy who had a cover for me kind of like slacking. So I was like, I'm learned. Well, third strike, you can't do it for me no more.
Yeah.
And I'm very responsible as a worker. That's why I went back to the job, because I'm like, you know what? If he's not coming, I'm just going to work now. Even though I had plans to stay in Comic-Con all day. But, you know, he was like, not to worry about it. You're good. He's still coming. He was just late, and he's going to be late. I didn't even know if he showed up. I didn't even text him. But I'm like, Angel, I'm going to just go home. I want to drop off my book bag, and we'll just go to Comic-Con. So I had to wait for my brother for a little bit. And as we leave, we get there around 7:40. And I see a lot of people leaving. I'm like, dang, I guess a lot of people leaving. Just they got what they want. We don't have to worry about a crowd. And it was because the show floor itself closed at 7 o'clock. So I was really upset because I wanted to buy something that I hadn't bought previously while I was there. I was probably going to get the Air Hog.
Yeah?
No, the BB-8 or the Air Hog.
Well, the Air Hog they didn't have on sale there. You had to buy it on the website.
Okay. No, but you had the 15%.
No, that's just to use it online.
Oh, that was to use. Okay, yeah. So it was either, well, probably the BB-8 or that, which I was thinking we can buy over there. But the show floor was closed, and I'm like really upset because, like, why were you asking for me when it was established that he would take it? And I had spoken to him on the side, and he's like, yeah, I'm going. So why did you want another confirmation? Like, I mean, he should have confirmed because he was the one who was being, you know, I'm going to take the shift when I mentioned it. But I don't know. I don't want to hear it come Monday when I go back. Yeah. Unless I pick up a shift today. But I'm really kind of like not in the mood for that.
So yeah, so we saw some cool shit at Comic-Con. There was these nice Ninja Turtle figures, man. They were about $130 a piece.
Yeah,
they look great. They look great together, though. Like when you put them together, $130, though. They had some video games there, actually. They had Mirror's Edge, Catalyst. But this year they did something a little different. What they did what I noticed this year was when they had video games, they had it kind of like, they set up like a wall behind the monitors and they faced the monitors to the wall. So people passing by couldn't see the games. And I don't know if that was because they forced people to get on their lines or it caused too much traffic. I don't know, but Mirror's Edge was there. They had a new Resident Evil game. I forgot the full name of it, but it's a multiplayer like shooter, a new Resident Evil game. They were showing Resident Evil Zero. What other games did we see? Did we see anything else?
Yes, so we did see Street Fighter 5.
Street Fighter 5, yes. Huge now, line.
It was a huge line, and I wanted to play it, but you know, it was, I didn't feel like waiting too long on that line. But from what I was seeing, I mean, it looked really good. It looked different from like the different angles and the fighting, like how it looked. And I know I said I wasn't going to get it, and I'm probably still not, depending how I feel.
You're going to get it. Stop the shit.
I mean, it looked good. It did look good. It wasn't like your typical side, you know, it just the like one five. Side. One, you know, when just looking at the two characters, one side, one side. It looked, I don't know how to explain it. Like at one point, I guess the camera angle changed and like you're seeing the character from behind fighting, unless I was looking wrong, but that's what it looked like, just the angle.
Well, it's kind of like, well, I meant to say it looks like four, but it's more stylistic. So like,
there was like more, something different about
certain
it.
Certain moves that you do, it might give you like a different camera view. Like let's say if you do a grab, like it just looks a little different. It looks more stylistic. They were showing some of the new characters. There was a huge line to play it though, so we ended up not waiting on that line. But I played the beta, so I know what it was. But the beta, they only had, I think, two characters. I think it was just Ryu and Bison. When I played the beta, that's all that was available. So it was cool because they had Armica. They had the girl that we spoke about last week. I forgot her damn name. What was her name? Karen. Karen, whatever her name is.
I don't remember.
They had her there being played. So I'm not sure if they were doing a tournament because it looked like they were doing signups. But it might have been for something else. I'm not too sure. But we kind of stayed away from that because it was a lot of people waiting. And we were going to wait, actually. But Elroy, you know, he doesn't get the concept that fighting games should be played with a fighting stick. He's like, well, it's a joystick, so I'm out.
That was another reason. I'm not into that. I like the controllers.
That's the way a fighting game should be played, though.
Yeah, I know, but I'm good.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool. Street Fighter was there. So, you know, they had some gaming stuff. They had Yo-Kai Watch, which is supposed to be like the new Pokemon. We thought we found the booth, but we walked around and we ended up not seeing the booth. But they just had like a picture of it. It's pretty much like the newest type of Pokemon where you get these ghosts and you have to trap ghosts and you get to fight with them and shit. It's like a new anime is coming out with it also. So I remember when Pokemon came out back in 98. I actually was already reading about the game before it even hit America, before the anime came out. So when the game came out, I got it the release date. So it was cool to like be a fan of something before it got big. And Yo-Kai Watch seems to be like the new thing. I've been trying to do some research on it. It looks pretty cool. I think you would like it. I'm going to send you some YouTube videos. It looks pretty cool. I think you would like it too. All
right.
Comic-Con, it was just full of... we didn't do any panels, but it was full of just... costumes like crazy. That's what you're gonna expect to see. Sometimes it's cool just to see the people
See people dress up. And I mean, there's a lot of stuff to buy, and you know, like I said, it's a great experience.
God. You can leave
to be in broke. But you know, I've experienced it many times, so it was just like, oh yeah, wow. But I mean, it's still a great experience, and there's so much that you can buy. But because you know, I'm not a baller like Mike, I can't really buy much.
But it was pretty cool.
And we wanted the perfect Pepsi from Back to the Future. We just couldn't find it. And yeah, so I called I called a friend and she told me they're not giving it out no more. But we could have done like a contest.
It was at getting 3,
It was at 3, but at that time we were playing the Ghostbusters demo. So, you know.
Which was worth it.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I don't know if the Pepsi tastes any different. I think it just comes in a different bottle.
I just wanted the bottle.
Yeah, the bottle looks dope. We saw some people like in full Ghostbusters gear with like, you know, the proton packs make noise, and one of the guys said his soundboard was damaged, but they made noise. It light up. They look really cool, you know. Jackie told me that her friend's husband dressed up as Groot. Like he was actually like on stilts. I didn't see Groot there, but she showed me a picture. He looked pretty cool. Mm-hmm. There was just a lot of Deadpools. There was way too many Deadpools.
Deadpool's the man.
Yeah, just very oversaturated at the moment. His popularity is really high. Like, there was this group of Deadpools just walking around making noise. There was like 30 of them just walking in a line.
Yeah,
I don't know how that started. I don't know if it was 30 people that knew each other or they just like started chaining people who dressed as Deadpool. But you saw like different Deadpools. Like, it would be like a different superhero with like a Deadpool mask. And because I guess that's what he does in the comic, right? Like, he makes fun of other heroes and shit, so
he's always dresses up in different like outfits.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I had a coworker of mine that actually went to the Daredevil panel. I don't know how that went. I won't find out until Tuesday when I go back to work. They had like a Marvel panel. They had a whole bunch of different panels. They, I think they had like a Last Witch Hunter panel. Like, if you look at the panel list on the website, it was ridiculous. They had panels like, man, crazy. They had the Serenity panel. We didn't do that.
That was an Ash versus the Evil Dead panel.
Yeah, they had that. The panels is like, when you get in there, you gotta like, from what I'm told, you gotta go to the panel that you want. There's like a specific zone, and you gotta pick up like a wristband or something like that. Then you come back like an hour before the panel starts or whatever. So it's kind of like, if you're there for one day, what do you want to do? Do you want to see the floor? Do you want to get on a line to get on a line later? Because, you know what I'm saying? Like, what do you want to do? So me and Noah usually just opt in just for like checking out different shit, walking around. We walked a lot. I walked almost 20,000 steps yesterday.
Nice.
We had some fucking Pinkberry in there.
Hell yeah.
Pinkberry, chocolate, hazelnut with coconut shavings. Yeah, that was pretty cool. Yeah, so Comic-Con is just basically like, if you're into comics, you're into gaming, you're into movies, it's cool to just go there, check it out. You see a lot of people there. It's just, it's overcrowded, honestly. A lot of different booths, a lot of shit to buy. If I had a man cave, forget about it. I'd be
going crazy. A lot of hotties.
What's also cool is that you're finding shit in there that you're never going to find in store. Like, a lot of handmade shit. Like, you know, they had like BB-8 scarves and Link scarves and Legend of Zelda, all this shit, like different t-shirts. It's t-shirt heaven. You're a fan of t-shirts. Only thing is, the only reason I don't buy some is because when I get my graphic tees, I usually get 2 for $20, like at Kohl's or JCPenney. They're charging like $25 a pop, so I'll pass on that. But
yeah, I they got a lot of good shirts, but I know this year I was like, I'm not gonna buy anything unless I really want it, and that was the case this year. Like, I held myself from buying anything until when I wanted to go back, but I just, you know, you already know the issue. Just 7 o'clock. I was like, what, 7? I don't remember closing at 7.
Yeah, but it was it was pretty cool. So I personally can't picture myself going for more than one day. I remember the first year we went 3 days. We went two days because before it was only Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then they added Thursday. I remember the first year I ever went to Comic-Con, we went Friday after work. We came back Saturday, and then I ended up just giving my ticket to you to give it to some, I think to your brother for Sunday. Yeah. I just couldn't picture myself going back Sunday. I was just kind of like, I saw everything, I'm not going again, you know? So, I think next time I do go, if I do go again, it'll just be Saturday again. So Comic-Con's a really cool experience, man. If you're a nerd, it's just like nerd heaven, pretty much. Like, anything you like nerdy, like between movies, games, you're always going to find something there.
Comic books,
yeah, they have toys, plushies, scarves, sweaters, shirts, almost any type of merchandise. They had like one store that had shot glasses and different cups and glasses of just different characters, like Deadpool, Game of Thrones. Just, it's fucking ridiculous, man. It's nerd heaven. So of course we had to go. So that's pretty much Comic-Con. You have anything else to say about Comic-Con?
Yeah, man, I wish I was going today, actually. Because of obviously yesterday, but kind of disappointed I didn't get to pick up the 3-day. Yeah. So it was crazy this year for having to buy tickets online.
It's gonna get worse. It's just, unless they add like more days or another weekend.
I miss when comic book stores sold tickets, like for
Big Planet. Did I tell you what happened this year?
No.
My friend, he usually goes to Comic-Con, and Royal Collectibles is the comic shop by my house. It's the closest one. They usually sell tickets. He said that he heard Midtown Comics bought almost all the tickets and pretty much dominated and monopolized the tickets that were being sold in New York. So I don't know if they made a deal with Comic-Con and just gave them separate money.
Yeah.
But you could only get Comic-Con tickets apparently from Midtown this year.
Oh.
So he was upset. He ended up not going, I think, because of that. And then when you get online to buy these tickets, let's say if the tickets go on sale at 10 a.m., literally 10:01, they're gone.
Yeah,
you pretty much have to get lucky, and then people.
I remember at work, I went on work trying to go online, and I couldn't. I was on a queue, a quay, or whatever the hell you want to call that. It's annoying.
People resell the tickets for like $150 a pop, and it's just like, come on, man, that's not no.
Yeah, I know somebody who's selling Sunday ticket for $200. I'm good. $200 Sunday ticket? Nah,
that's the least day. You know, people.
Yeah, go. Sundays are mainly for kids, so.
Damn, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So yeah, we didn't we didn't get the weekend. We just got the Saturday, and I was lucky to get a Saturday. My coworker ended up. It was funny because the day Comic-Con tickets went on sale, we had like a little hub in my office, so it was kind of like, I have my computer. They brought their laptops, so let's just go. As soon as it goes, let's get tickets, and if we could get tickets for each other, let's do that. So they ended up getting their tickets for their group of friends, and I was trying to get mine. I was in the queue, and literally as soon as it went on sale, I hit buy now or whatever. So I ended up going to the gym after that because I didn't get tickets. I went downstairs to the gym, and my coworker came downstairs like, Mike, I got you 2 tickets. I'm like, yes! It was epic. So I got lucky. You know, we weren't even supposed to be there yesterday technically, but luck, whatever. But yeah. I you know, it's funny because every time I go to Comic-Con, I'm always like, should I go back? I don't know. It's like, but I end up going back. So I'm pretty sure if I get a chance, I'll go next year. So we in there again?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so
hopefully under better circumstances.
So you have anything else on Comic-Con?
No, that's about it. I'm on a Yu-Gi-Oh card.
So I guess that's going to wrap it up for this episode. We just wanted to discuss Comic-Con this week. And the next week, we'll be back to our traditional, normal podcast, you know, with the regular segments and everything like that. So, again, guys, thanks for listening, as always. You can follow us on Twitter at nerdyishpodcast@twitter.com. You can email us at nerdyishpodcast@gmail.com. And follow Elroy at Elroy Martinez Jr., right? At Facebook.
For the umpteenth time.
Yeah, I always get it wrong. Elroy Martinez Jr. at Facebook and on YouTube. And that's pretty much it. So, again, thanks for listening, guys, and take care.
Later.